pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. 6 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning. Still to come on the program today, we'll hear from State Representative Andrew Sorrell. He is the chairman of the Republican Alabama delegation at the Republican National Convention. He's live on the scene there. We also got former State Senator Tripp Pittman. That's in the 11 a.m. hour. And former Governor Don Siegelman. Wrap it all up. So make sure that you stay tuned for that. But joining us now, he is the mayor of Dauphin Island. Always a pleasure to introduce him. Jeff Collier joins us. Mayor, how are you this morning?
Well, so far so good, Jeff. Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. I guess the storm not as bad as it could have been. Things not as bad as it could have been, but if anything, maybe you're getting kind of a dry run, a test run out of what could happen maybe later on in the year with the tropical season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anytime we have a storm in the Gulf of Mexico, we take it very seriously. And, of course, as it looks like maybe Marco is, as you said, just going to kind of be a good practice drill for us, not that we need any more practice. But then, of course, now our eyes are on Laura and looking at the projected path and intensity. If it holds true to form, hopefully we can dodge, you know, what will be a second bullet here in the past couple of days. So, but, you know, anytime we get one in the Gulf, and, you know, we've got a lot of areas of the island that are very susceptible to saltwater flooding, that's always the first thing that comes to my mind, and it doesn't take a whole lot in some areas to cause some big problems.
Well, this is very uncharted territory. We have you have the pandemic going on at the same time as you do hurricane season. That, I would have to imagine, is a unique set of challenges, probably something you never had to encounter.
Well, that's true, and it just, you know, like I've said this to other people, I've been asked that before, and it just sort of further complicates, you know, everything that we normally have to do in a usual hurricane season, all the preparations and things that we have to do. Having to deal also with the pandemic just, again, further complicates the things that we need to do. And, you know, we implemented several months or more ago. Our staff, you know, wearing masks, trying to keep them from riding together in vehicles. We issuing the hurricane reentry pass over the past 4 or 5 days and trying to afford, you know, literally probably 500 or more people to come through and get those, and just trying to deal with all of the things that we have to deal with, and then also trying to maintain the protocols, which, you know, I think we are able to do, but it just makes it more challenging, as you say.
Yeah, because, you know, I wouldn't even know where to start having to manage that with, you know, how do you create that right balance while knowing that this is potentially a hectic situation with people trying to get people on and off the island. Meanwhile, you got to be wearing the mask, or you got to keep all of that in mind as well.
Yeah, it is, and I guess the only bright side is the fact that we have been through the hurricane preparation part of it many, many times. So that part is, I'll say, almost easy. So it makes it a little simpler for us to fold in the COVID-related issues. Again, going back to the, you know, we've had town hall, all of our public buildings have been closed now for multiple months to the general public. We've been trying to work things online and mail and all those types of things to try to mainly keep everybody safe, particularly to try to protect our staff. But when we had to open up here for the reentry passes, and we implemented, you know, of course, requiring of masks, we only let a couple people in the building at a time. We did temperature checks before they came in, so which, you know, all of that we've been doing for our own staff. So I'm proud of our staff and being able to, you know, transition in the way that we have and get the job done and try to keep people safe in the meantime, and I think it's all gone well so far.
And beyond this this run of bad weather we've had in recent days, how are things otherwise? You know, I guess Dauphin Island, the tourist economy, is such a big deal. You know, with COVID-19, this new normal, How has this year been dealing with that?
Well, you know, Dolphin Island has been on a high here the past 5 or 6 years. We've been building probably 60 to 80 new homes per year, which is unheard of. And so, you know, let's face it, you know, Dolphin Island is an attractive, desirable community. People like Dolphin Island, and it makes our job easier as far as marketing. And you know, we don't have to, you know, put lipstick on a pig, if you will. I mean, Dolphin Island, I'm always said that people coming to Dolphin Island, for the most part, are going to like what they find. And it's proud to leave a community that is in that way. And I know there's probably a lot of communities that, that are, you know, would like to be in that situation. And so we're very fortunate in most ways that we have a very desirable community. We have a kind of community that most people want it to be, and yet it's also successful. And so that's the best of both worlds. But, you know, from a tourism standpoint, we were, again, flying high, have been for the last, since the oil spill pretty much got away. The closing of the beaches this spring, you know, really just shut things down. I was amazed at how things just turned back on once the beaches were reopened. I didn't really feel like it would bounce back as quickly as it did. Thankfully, it did from an economic standpoint. Of course, with the COVID, you're always concerned when you have a lot of folks. But, you know, we've been able to kind of navigate those treacherous waters, if you will, since then, and things are going quite well.
So you don't really have the problems as a lot of other these coastal destinations have, these beach destinations, that you don't have the crowded bars or restaurants, or maybe not the crowded bars or sittings like that. Are there potential pitfalls where people might not be adhering to some of these COVID guidelines?
Well, we always have challenges with that. We, you know, on one hand, being a small community, small town, and the other positive is, you know, most of our businesses on the island are small, locally owned and operated kind of mom-and-pop variety shops, which makes it much easier for us to work very closely with them. And we've been doing that since the outbreak began, working really one-on-one and being able to go in and help them with their distancing and signage and all the different things to keep not only their customers safe, but keep their employees safe. And, you know, with all that being said, I think for the most part, we've got a success story to tell of how we've been able to manage all of this. We've actually monitored the beaches routinely to try to make sure we don't have crowds and things of that nature. And looking back, you know, the last few months or more, I think we've got a success story. We've had some issues here and there that you would expect where you get crowds in our case for our level, but groups of people, maybe people not wearing masks when they should. And so we've had to address a few of those things, but for the most part, I think we've done a good job of keeping our arms around that and trying to encourage people to just do the right thing. You know, that way we don't even have to get involved.
Yeah. And I would assume that is it true for your experience with some of this stuff that you just, you're not writing a lot of citations or reprimanding people. It's more like, hey, you got to be wearing a mask or you need to spread out some. Is that kind of how you're handling it?
Yeah, that's pretty much how we're handling it. We look at it as trying to be informational, educational, if you will. You know, as you know, with the tourist community, we have people here from all over the country. And so, you know, when they're coming to go to vacation, they're not going to stop most likely and say, okay, what are the COVID protocols in Alabama? You know, so we have to try to help with that on this end. A lot of that gets picked up through our local real estate agents. We work very closely with them, and we kind of lean on them a little bit to try to be our go-between with the rental agents and companies, so that they have direct connect with these people who are coming in and spending a week or more with us, and so they can communicate with them a lot better than we can, although we do our share to do that. So I feel like, yes, for most part, we try to patrol and try to remind people and encourage people, and a lot of that comes with the shop owners as well. A lot of them are doing that for us. So I think we've got a good system on this, and I think it's kind of smoothed out. Initially, we had some rough edges, but I think it's smoothed out over time, and everybody pretty much knows the playbook at this point.
How are other things going, like tax revenues? With the shutdown, you hear a lot of these from these mayors and other places around the state that they don't have as much resources in their coffers. Have you been able to weather that storm?
Well, for the most part, like I said, it was pretty scary back in the spring when the beaches got closed down, because that just essentially turned everything off, very similar to what the oil spill did. But, you know, honestly, we're working on budget now. We just had a meeting last week, and for the most part, the numbers look fairly good. I mean, fortunately, we budget conservatively anyway, so that when you have these kind of things happen or anything else that might occur, you know, our budget is set up in a way that we don't look at the most optimistic. We try to scale that down. We kind of reduce revenue projections and increase expenses, so that if you have a hiccup, it won't be as much of an effect. And that's kind of what we're seeing right now. The only one I'm a little bit concerned about is sales tax revenues. Lodging tax right now looks like it's going to meet what we expected. Sales tax still got a little ways to go, so we'll see how that goes. And of course, with these storms coming through, that just kind of piles on the fact that, you know, we'll have less people here and less activity, so that can have another effect on the budget as well.
Well, does it seem like we're going to have, you know, I'm asking you to play meteorologist here, but are you anticipating kind of a busy storm season this year?
Yeah, you know, that's what they're saying. And for some reason, back when Cristobal came through, and I think it was early June, and something told me, I just said at the time, and I told people, I said, no, I don't have this feeling, but for some reason this year, I don't feel like this is going to be our only visitor. You know, well, maybe Marco counts as one of those, and hopefully Laura stays away. But, you know, we still got another full month and a half, if not two, to be concerned with as it relates to the hurricane season. And I think that it is showing that it's going to be a busy season. And as the old saying goes, it only takes one. And so, you know, each year we go into the hurricane season hoping we can get by another year. We certainly hope that's the case as well this time. But, you know, when you're living on the coast, and particularly when you're living on a barrier island, you know you're on the front line, and you know at some point it is going to happen. You just hope it's going to be, you know, farther in the future.
But you sound like you feel pretty good about where you're at. I mean, that you're prepared, you know, for worst case scenario, and that's just, I guess, the product, like you said, living on a barrier island.
Well, and we are. I feel like we are. And the other thing is, too, I think the fact that most of our citizens are also aware. You know, they've been down this road before. We communicate with them very much so. I mean, I put out a Facebook post routinely to keep people informed. And even to the point that in Dauphin Island, there are certain parts of the island that are affected differently depending on the intensity of the storm. And so, you know, we've got a lot of history here. We've been through a lot of storms, even though all of them are different. We pretty much have a feel for what's going to happen on the ground, depending on the storm itself. And our citizens, they I think for the most part, they are prepared. They know how to be prepared. And so I feel good about that. But again, I go back to saying that the one challenge is the visitors. I mean, because this island, we've got a lot more visitors on Dauphin Island any given day in the summer than we do residents. And so that is the wild card. The other thing with them is that most of the homes that they're renting are in these, potentially these most vulnerable areas when it comes to storm surge and saltwater inundation. And so that is one of the bigger challenges we have, is more to do with visitors than it is residents, you know. So, but I think we do a good job.
And we'll wrap it up on this, though, is it, you know, with COVID and people wanting to get out of the house, is that, you think that is maybe adding to an uptick in visitors this year?
Oh, I do. I feel like that folks, you know, certainly they see Dauphin Island as a bit of an oasis to get away from the crowded cities and things of that nature. I'm a firm believer that the great outdoors should be our friend at this point of a pandemic. I mean, I've not been through one before, but it makes sense to think that if you can get out on the beach, spread out, and take, you know, get out and go birding and biking and all of those things that Dauphin Island has to offer, I think it is a great spot to do. And then we just have to be careful when we go into stores and shops and restaurants and take the proper protocols. And I think for the most part, we can be safe and do what we need to do. So I do feel like it is because people look at Dauphin Island as a place to get away from those other areas.
Mayor, we got to leave it there. Folks need to find and get in touch with the city, or anyway, is there a good place for good place for them to look?
Yes, sir. I just always encourage them to go to the town's website. It's townofdauphinisland.org. That's probably the best piece of information, but otherwise they can call Town Hall directly and we'll try to help them out. But thank you for having me on, Jeff.
Hey, Mayor, thanks for making time for us this morning. Certainly a busy time for you.
Thank you.
That was Dauphin Island Mayor Jeff Collier here on the program. We got to take another break. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Just glitter and shine.